You'll discover very quickly when you open the book of 1 Corinthians that it's not just an old dusty letter that Paul the Apostle penned to the people in Corinth so many, virtually 2,000 years ago now. But it trundles on down through the centuries of time, and it's applicable to us today as much as it was back to them in their day. And notable, in chapter 1 and verse 2, we have these words where Paul is giving his address here, and he's saying, this is what's on the envelope. These are the people I'm sending it to, onto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Well, it is to them. Of course it's to them. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So it's going to those who are the people of God in Corinth, but here are the words that bring it right to us and put our name in the address as well. With all, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so it is fanning down through the centuries and putting its hand on us and saying, but look at this, your name is on the front of the envelope as well. It's every bit as much for you as it was for those believers in the city of Corinth back then. It's all those who in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and that is inclusive of us. God's word to every generation and to our day. You will have noted as we read through chapter 6 tonight that Paul is dealing with some practical things. For example, he's talking about Christians going to law or not going to law, one against the other. Start of the chapter is dealing with that. Then he talks about the sanctity of the body and also the purity of marriage. And the key verses that we're looking at tonight are right at the very end of the chapter in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and the verse 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There is here, first of all, a word of exclamation. A word of exclamation. Paul is almost stunned in the introduction here to verse 19 when he says, what? Question mark. Know ye not? Am I really meant to believe this? Must I accept this? Is this where we are at this moment in time? So there's the element of surprise here that Paul is introducing, and by this language, that surprise is very, very plain. What? Know ye not? And what he is throwing out here is what we term a rhetorical question. It doesn't need an answer because the answer is so self-evident. And Paul's underlining a truth here, and it's one that we as Christians before the Lord should be very convinced about. Know ye not. That might mean one of two things. It might mean, well, don't you know? Are you ignorant of this fact? Has this not come across your board or plate at any time, and therefore you really don't know anything about this? What? Know ye not? Or it could also mean, have you forgotten? You do know this, but you've become slack. You've grown careless. You're now casual. You've allowed it to drift out of your mind, and so you've forgotten the very thing that you should, and that I know you do know. If we ask the question, why is it so many of God's people are living defeated lives, are living lives that are joyless, lives that are powerless, lives that are fruitless? Well, the answer is going to be one of these two things. The answer to Paul's question here, it is either due to ignorance, And they haven't really got into Ephesians chapter 1 and read down the chapter and found all the wonderful benefits, and the sort of has a concertina effect here as they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming in Ephesians 1, and they haven't dug down deeply into that and know all that they have in Christ, and therefore, because they're not aware of what they have in Jesus Christ, they live lives that are joyless. They live lives that are defeatist. They live lives that are next door to being completely depressed. It's ignorance. They don't know what they have in Christ. Or it's the other option. It's forgetfulness. And so a matter of discipleship, you need to be taught these things. Or a matter of discipline, you know these things, you have been taught these things, you're very aware of these things, but you hold them with a very loose hand and they're slipping through your fingers, and you have sometimes very conveniently just forgotten all about them, and that's why your experience is joyless and powerless and also fruitless. Paul, of course, made it his prime motivation keep in contact with those churches that he had founded, to keep reminding them, prodding them, pushing them towards more knowledge in Christ, to do as he was doing himself, more about Jesus would I know, that I might know him. And so he keeps reminding them that you need to know these things. And then, of course, he talks about lest at any time we should let them slip. The book of Hebrews, just let them drift away from us. What we have knowledge of, but in our days of carelessness, have allowed to drift on past. A word of exclamation then, to begin with, what? Know ye not? And then he follows that, secondly, with a word of explanation, because he goes on to say, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6, what? Know ye not that? And here's what he wants them to know in this instance. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. There's a twofold truth sitting on the surface here in these words in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. The first one is, as a child of God, I am no longer my own. I don't belong to myself. I can't say now, I'm in charge, I'm the boss, I am in control, and there will be no one else taking care or charge of my life. Nobody else to dictate to me. Nobody else to dominate me. I am my own boss. No, I'm not. I am his. We are his. Our body, your body, that is you, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. That includes every single part of us. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, the end of the verse. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Verse 15. Know ye not, that thought of knowledge again, that your bodies are the members of Christ. Now all this is true. I belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ because, number one, he created me, he made me. And so way back in the loins of Adam, I was thought of, my name was given, all of my career was plotted. I am his by creation, but not only that, I'm his by redemption. Because when I wandered and capsized in sin, he bought me back. And so in the last part of verse 19, ye have of God, ye are not your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. And immediately that brings to mind the words that Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, the verse 18 and 19, and we quoted them earlier in prayer, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are bought at the highest possible cost. And so we're looking here at the price of purchase, and it's a shed blood of God's eternal Son. So we are not our own. We are His by product. He made us. We are His by purchase. He has redeemed us. And that is something, Paul is laboring the point here right through the passage, that is something that we need to know. But then the second of the two truths by way of explanation here is, he's telling us this also. Not only you're not your own, but you are the temple of God. And the Holy Spirit, He dwells in your body. Notice the exact words in the first part of verse 19 here. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? That happened. He entered in on the day of conversion to Christ. He entered in when we called upon the Lord in belief and in repentance of our sin. He has been there ever since. He will never leave us either. That too is a truth that is so central and pronounced in God's Word. And we have so many references where the Lord, by His Spirit, indwells us. We'll take one example in John chapter 7. We might take several, but John 7... And if you look at the verse 37 through to the verse 39 there, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And so we are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 14, and the verse 16 and 17 there, "And I will pray the Father," our Lord says, "and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him," and hear the key words, "for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And again, the thought that he is indwelling the child of God. And we could keep going in the book of Acts, chapter 5, and the verse 32. In Acts 11, the verse 17, emphasized again. In Acts 19 and 2. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, and the verse 5. And then to get into that Song of Songs chapter in the book of Romans, the chapter 8. We have it in verse 9, we have it in verse 11, we have it in verse 15 again, and the truth that is continually being taught is we are, as Christians, God's people, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And those are the two great truths here. You're not your own, you belong to God, you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and Paul here is explaining to us what it is to be living the Christian life. And he's telling us, when we understand this, grasp this, work it out in our heads and our minds and our hearts, we will rejoice in this. And then finally and thirdly comes a word of exhortation. A word of exhortation. And having taught what he has done, he then makes application. If you belong to the Lord, if He is actually by His Spirit dwelling within you, then something should and must happen. In verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore," having given the word of explanation, "therefore," He's exhorting us, "glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Notice the double emphasis. He comes and tells us, first of all, that you're not your own. And then at verse 20, the end of it, you're God's. But in between, with that body that is owned by him, indwelt by him, that spirit that is being generated by him, what do we do? Therefore, glorify God in your body. In other words, act on the knowledge that you have. How do we do this? Well, by purging our purification. The Christ who has shed his blood to possess us has shed his blood to make us clean and to keep us clean. And the Holy Spirit comes to a clean temple, doesn't want to come and reside in a rubbish heap, in a place that is full of ungodly clutter. And if again you check back into the chapter we are reading from, look at verse 15 and verse 18. Know ye not, verse 15, that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And so the Lord is emphasizing here through the words of Paul, what I want to see is the purification of my temple. And then the possession of it as well. We belong to him. He dwells within us. Whenever, maybe it used to be 18, maybe it was 21, that child of yours growing up in the family traditionally got the key to the door, and the house was effectively theirs, and they could walk in and go out at any particular time they chose. They had the key. And the Lord has to have that full possession of our body and spirit. In other words, he is the key, he is the right of way. What it is what Paul wrote in another place, in Romans 12 and verse 1. And we'll turn to that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, very familiar words. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, handing them over, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we have the purification of the temple, the possession of the temple, where the Lord is having his way. Francis Ridley Havergal, famous hymn writer and poet, wrote the words, in full and glad surrender, I give myself to thee, thine utterly and only and evermore to be. He demands the purging of the temple, the possession of the temple. And then, of course, we are within that temple to be pliable as far as his will and his way is concerned. We trust him to do what he pleases in us, to us, and also through us. After all, if he has bought us with his own blood, if by his Holy Spirit he has come to dwell within us, is it not his right to do in us and with us and through us just what he wills and chooses? He might want us in a different country to where we are, in a different place to where we are right now. And that's his right to will that. He may permit suffering, sickness, sorrow. Turn to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 15. On that account, Matthew 20 and the verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? It's the thought of the potter who has power over the whole lump And we have no right to be saying, Lord, why hast thou made me thus? He is the potter. We are the clay. Question is, do we recognize his ownership? Do we recognize his indwelling? And if we do, then we must give him right of way in our life and with our life. Paul saying, these are the things, you Corinthians, I want you to know. These are the things, all of you who are naming the name of Christ, down through the generations of time, that you need to know. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And that really is summarizing what we have in verse 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6, does it not? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For, and the explanation is given. It's not just a demand, it's reasoned out. For, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, the argument is building here. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And the simplest of simple prayers, and yet the most profound and effective, and that comes right to the core of why we are still breathing and still able to go about from day to day. Lord, teach me and help me to glorify thee in my body and in my spirit, because all I have is from thee and to thee and through thee.